listeners of Radio Student. We have Joe Nice here with us in the studio. Joe, hi. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding, brother. How you doing, man? You all right?
I'm okay.
Lovely.
You're playing in F Club Ljubljana.
Yes, sir.
It's great to have you here.
I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here.
For the people who are not familiar with your work, could you introduce yourself?
Joe Nice, representing Baltimore, Maryland, United States of America. Reconstruct Double New York City, Dataset Clothing, Sub FM, True Soldiers Productions. I'm the guy regarded by many as the responsible for bringing the dubstep sound to the United States of America. I've been playing dubstep for about a little more than 10 years now. It's me. I'm here.
You're the ambassador.
I'm the ambassador. Yeah, man, I'm the ambassador.
Where does the name come from?
You know what? It's crazy. This was years ago. I want to say like 5 or 6 years ago, probably a little bit more than that. It was at a DMZ all-nighter. This was probably like the third year birthday or the first birthday. I can't remember which one. It was an after party the next day. And Code 9 and I were talking about music and sound and that sort of thing. Code 9 is one of the smartest guys ever. I mean, if he's in the room, whatever room he's in, he's the smartest guy in that room. So we're hanging out. We're talking. We're talking about playing shows around the world or whatever. And he said something just out of nowhere. And he goes, Joe, you're the first guy to do this over here. It's like you're the ambassador. And he said it just like that. And I'm like, you should do that. You're the ambassador. And I'm like, cool. I never thought of, you know. And I mean, you can't give yourself a nickname because that's just not cool at all. It's not sexy. You don't give yourself a nickname. You don't, you know. I mean, if you follow basketball, Kobe Bryant didn't call himself the Black Mamba. Other people call him that. Then it's like, yeah, I'm the Black Mamba. You know what I mean? He didn't call himself the Black Mamba. At least I don't think he did. And if he did, there's something wrong with that. You know? But look, I mean, yeah, so it's like people, he said, hey, you're the ambassador. I'm like, okay, cool. And other people found out about that and just spread like wildfire. So next thing you know, other people start calling me the ambassador. So I'm like, all right, cool. Sounds good. It's a good thing. It's positive. I'm going to go with it. Joe Nice, dubstep ambassador. It fits. I mean, if you see my record bag, right? My record bag has a flag from every country I've ever played. Mm-hmm. Every one of them. When I played Ljubljana on October 18, F Club, can't wait to play. I've heard many good things about the F Club, too. It's one of those, you know, every self-respecting DJ has a list of clubs that he or she wants to play around Europe. You know, there's the Cross Club in Prague. You got Fabric or Mass or Ministry of Sound in London. You got the Melkweg in Amsterdam. You know, you could Pixie in Istanbul. The 4 Kilometer Center in Sofia, Bulgaria. You know, take your pick. There's all these clubs that you read about in magazines, and you're like, man, wouldn't it be cool if I got to play that club one day? Man, I heard so-and-so's mix at this club, live broadcasting on this radio station. And man, one of these days, I'd like to play there. And sure enough, now I've been fortunate and blessed enough to do these things, and it's like, man, and one of the clubs that you hear other people talk about, not just in dubstep, but in other genres of music, is the F Club.
Yeah, Mala played there twice.
Yeah, so. Yeah. People talk about it. People are like, yo, the F Club's serious. It's one of those clubs. Yeah. Like, another one is in Geneva, Switzerland, a club called Le Zoo. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Wow. Big time. Big time. But yeah, there's so many places around. I shouldn't say so many, but there's the Fuse in Brussels, Belgium is another one. Another one of those clubs where you walk in and the first time you're there, there's this feeling of, oh my gosh, how I'm playing here tonight. It's one of those kind of feelings, you know? And the F Club, for me, is one of those type of places where the reputation is as big as the anticipation of actually playing the place. The moment is in front of you, and yeah, and I'm ready for that. I want that. Okay. Next Friday night, man. I can't wait. First time in Slovenia, brother. First time. Hopefully it's not the last.
So tell us something about, you're the first American, obviously one of the first Americans that reached out across the Atlantic to go to see an actual dubstep night. I remember listening to your interviews, listening to you on the radio talking about physicality of dubstep.
Right.
Even before I've heard it in a club.
Right.
So what made you travel across the Atlantic, go to a club and listen to dubstep? What was the attraction? What was the main reason you went out and see those people you were listening to across the internet?
You know,
how do you find music?
You know, it's crazy, man, because look, I always joke and I say, yeah, I'm a man of the people, you know, but there's a lot of me that is that. I mean, I'm about people. I'm a people guy, you know? I mean, People see me in the street. I'm not one of these people that you can't come up to and talk to and say, hey, Joe, what's going on? How you doing? How things? I'm a normal guy. I just happen to have an ability to put two tunes together better than most people on this planet. That's just what it is. But other than that, you take me away from DJing, I'm the same guy that loves to watch football on the weekends, you know, that does his thing. I'm that guy, you know? It's no big deal. So for me, it was important to go to where the source was, you know? You can't be fully engaged in something and not embrace what you're trying to become engaged to. You have to be where the action is. You have to find the people that are doing it bigger and better than you. That way you can hope to be them and maybe with God-given ability, talent, and hard work, be better than them. Because once you're better than them, everybody gets better. You know the old saying, a rising tide floats all boats. Mm-hmm. So if one person's good, everybody else is going to get good. When everybody gets good, everybody gets great. So for me, it was important to go there and meet the people that are doing it. Meet the people that are doing it. See them. See how they do it. Then it's like, look, if they can do it there, why can't I do it here? Why can't America have something like this?
And you made it happen with Dub War, with Reconstruct.
You know, I'll tell you, man, Dub War, I don't think people really understand how much energy and effort Dub War took to get off the ground and up and running. Me and my friend Dave Kill love that brother like my brother. I mean, I got two younger brothers, but he's another brother from another mother. You get what I'm saying. So me and Dave, we got started June of 2005. When you say it, that it sounds so far away, but it's even further than you actually think it is, because it's not only just far away in the back of your mind in terms of memory, but it's even farther away in terms of the from where the sound was back then to where it is now. It's almost eons ahead now, and the changes that have happened with the sound. So we started to say, hey, you know, we were like, hey, you know what? If the guys in London can have something, why can't we have something? And why can't we? And I live in Baltimore. Dave's in New York. And why not New York? Biggest city in America. If we can make it happen here, hey, it's got a chance to succeed. So Dave found a venue. He invited me up. And another old friend of mine, my friend John Ask, who's a reggae and dub DJ in Baltimore. We went up there and we played at a club called Bar Sputnik in the Fort Greene section of Brooklyn. There were 30 people that showed up. 30. And I remember walking back to Dave's apartment and sleeping on his futon. And we were talking. We were having a drink. And we're just like, man, you know what? We got something special here. We absolutely do. It wasn't like 30 people that were just seeing what's going on and wondering what was happening. It was 30 enthusiastic people. They were like, yo, you guys got dubstep here? Man, I've been looking for something like this. Man, I was hoping I could find someone that is doing something. That way I could come out and share in the vibe and be a part of something big, you know? So that's what we did. So we got started. We had 30 people. Next time we did another party, more people came out. Then we said, hey, let's bring somebody from overseas. First guy we brought was Code 9. And everybody knew who Code 9 was. Everybody still knows him now. So next thing you know, he comes over and 350, 400 people show up at this venue called Rothko in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And from there on, every month for 5 years, we did that party. Every month. And we changed venues quite a bit. We then went, at the final venue we had was Club Love. And that's when things really got crazy. Because once we went to Club Love, there were so many people that knew about Dub War, and there were even more people that knew about the reputation of Club Love and that sound system they had there, the Gary Stewart audio sound system. And for dubstep is about sound and it's about vibe and about location, venue. Everything that goes, it all has to work together. And Club Love was perfect for us. Big enough room, holds about 350, 400 people, massive sound system. Downstairs, basement, dark, perfect. That's all we needed. On top of that, we had the sound engineers that were working with us. In the early days, it was Ruben, then a guy named Richie, then Andrew and his wife Zoe were there. And Andrew and Zoe are a big part of what we do at Reconstruct because they have the Tsunami Bass sound system, so they do our sound. So they know what we at Reconstruct are looking for because they were there in the early Dub War days and all the other events that were taking place at Club Love on Friday nights. So it's for the past 8 years, me and Dave, and now me, Luke, and Scott, we've been doing dubstep parties in New York City, and it's been a beautiful thing. And I think other cities saw our success, and people, the guys in L.A., guys in San Francisco, Houston, Austin, Dallas, Miami, Detroit, San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, they were looking, they're like, you know what? Hey, if the guys in New York can do this, we can do this here. Then Canada jumps on board, Toronto, Montreal, Winnipeg, I mean, Calgary, Edmonton, you name Vancouver, Victoria, Whistler, Halifax. I played a show in Sydney, Nova Scotia 2 years ago. Sydney, Nova Scotia. You can't find that on a map. Sydney, Nova Scotia. 30,000 people, airport's about the size of a big gas station. I'm serious. I played a show out there. Sydney, Nova Scotia, man. Are you kidding me? I had a great time there too, buddy. So look, it's out there, man. People love bass music. People want this sound. People want it. You just got to work hard to promote it. And you got to, and you know, you just got to ignore the haters, man. You got to ignore the haters. Keep them to the side. Focus on the love. Focus on the love of the music, love of the people. It's going to go the right way.
How do you estimate the health of the dubstep sound in this moment in time?
Never been better.
Yeah?
Never been better. Yeah. Because I would say last year the sound was very toxic because there were so many people that were using it and abusing it for their own reasons. It became pop. It became almost bastardized pop music. And for me, I got into the sound because it was an underground sound. I never wanted dubstep to become overly popular. Sure, I wanted it to grow, but I wanted it to grow organically. Mm. But what happened really over the past year to year and a half is so many people jumped on it and watered it down. And it became watered down, and the sound became watered down, and people started jumping, just getting away from the roots of what the sound was. You know what I mean? And now, those same people have gone on to other things, thankfully. And they've left dubstep alone. They've left dubstep alone, and I'm happy about that.
Me too.
Because the real people that are doing real things in dubstep, we're still here. We're still here. We haven't gone anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're still right here. And look, and look, if you want real bass music, dubstep's the sound for you, you know? We're here. We're not going anywhere. The same people that were doing it 10 years ago are the same people, for the most part, are still doing it now. And we're doing it better than ever, in more places than ever. Look, man, when I play Ljubljana, Slovenia, in a week, in less than a week, 6 days from now, on Friday, October 18, including America, Slovenia is the 15th country I've been to this year. 15th country. I couldn't tell you 5 years ago or 3 years ago, I couldn't imagine I would go to 15 countries in my lifetime. I've been to 15 countries, including my own, this calendar year. And the year's not over yet. I still got time.
So you've recorded a mix for Radio Student.
Yes,
full of exclusive dub plates.
All exclusives.
To you. And
that's right. Exclusive to I.
To I. And tell me, have you ever produced?
No, I haven't. I'm learning.
Why not?
You know, my passion's with performing and playing the music. Honestly, it's not that I don't think I have an ear for what I think would sound good and what I would think would be a creative outlet to present something musical to the people. But my energy is really with getting behind two or three decks and a mixer and doing my thing for 90 minutes or 2 hours or however long anybody wants me to play. That's really my focus. That's my thing. If I just said, let me focus more energy into production, I feel it would take away from my ability to play music and perform. And I don't want to take away from that because I don't want to be average at two things. And when I'm average at two things, I'm not great at anything. I'd rather be great at one thing and not focus on the other than be average at two things and not be great at anything. So as you get older, you realize what your limitations are as a person, and whatever those limitations are. And I guess my limitation is time. I don't have the time to get really great at production and still maintain and continue to develop my standards as a DJ and a performer. So I know if I want to continue to do what I do to the best of my ability, I can't focus entirely on production or put more energy into production and sacrifice energy and time with music, with DJing. So,
your DJing is impressive.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
But what I noticed is that you DJ without your shoes on.
No shoes on, man.
Tell me what's the secret.
Brother, let me tell you, man. Everybody wants to know that secret. And you know, and I wish I had a sexy answer for this, but I really don't, right? When I first started DJing a long, long time ago, when I was living at home with my mom and, you know, my mom had carpet in the house. She would never let me wear the shoes on her carpet. And my mom's Caribbean, from Trinidad. My parents are from Trinidad. Uh-huh. So imagine, you know, I'm 15, 16 years old, and I come in the house, my shoes got a little dirt on them or whatever. My mom would, Joseph, take your shoes off in my house. You know what I mean? I could, and you know, strangely, if we're doing this interview now, and today's my mom's birthday, happy birthday, Mom. I love you. So, you know, she would never let me wear shoes on in the house. So even in the basement, we had carpet. So when I was first learning how to mix, I never played with shoes on because I was in the house. I had carpet. I never wore shoes in the house. My mom told me not to do it, so I did it. I mean, it's her house, her rules. So when I first started playing out, I remember I had a really bad night on the decks. I mean, horrible. I couldn't mix anything. Nothing was working. Blends were off. Terrible. Mm. And I realized when I drove home, I was like, you know, I had my shoes on the entire time. Seriously. I'm not saying like I couldn't play with my shoes on now, but it wouldn't feel right. So it was one of those weird things with the scheduling, because I was a resident at Sonar on Wednesday, mm-hmm. on Wednesdays, and each of the DJs and the crew had their Wednesday night. But then we had a crew night where the four of us would play once a month together on a Friday. So the timing was weird because I ended up playing on Wednesday. Then 2 days later, I'm up there again on a Friday. So I ended up playing again on Friday, took my shoes off, and I smashed it. I crushed it in the club. And I'm like, you know what? I'm never playing with shoes on again. And that was, my gosh, probably 9-10 years ago. So I never played a gig ever, whether it's radio, whether it's at a festival, at a club, whatever, with my shoes on. I always take them off. I always take them off. And now, you remember the movie Gladiator?
Yeah.
All right. Do you remember when Russell Crowe puts his hands in the dirt and he rubs his hands in the dirt, right? And he's getting ready to fight and he wins? For me, that's kind of the thing with the shoes off now. You know what I mean? The shoes off, it's like, okay, I'm ready. I got to get ready to go. And that's my thing. Okay, it's game on. You got to, let's get ready. Let's get after it. So I take my shoes off. That's my cue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two more questions,
yes, sir.
Joe. One question.
Yes, sir.
Your first radio appearance in England was with Jay the Flex.
That's correct.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
And he's a good friend of LB.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And LB and many other guys that were producing early Dark Garage and stepped over to UK Funky started producing house music.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, it's shuffling or like kind of house music.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's a logical progression for them.
Yeah.
Because a lot of their early UK garage that we're producing on the Ghost label early UK garage has roots of house, has a bit of a house background in it, mm-hmm. naturally. So they didn't necessarily want to go with really a harder sound of dubstep, so it made more sense for them to migrate towards that direction and to make it more of a housey sound, but add their own UK bass influenced flavor to it. Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense. I've actually heard quite a bit of their stuff. I like it. It's not necessarily stuff I would play because, I mean, I'm dubstep, but mm-hmm. you put that stuff in the car, it works. It does the job.
Yeah.
It does the job. And there's some really talented brothers too, man. There's some really, really, really quality human beings, both of those guys are Lewis and Jason, man. They're real good guys. Yeah. In fact, last time I played London, I played Croydub, and they did a back-to-back tag team set together, and it was nothing but old UK garage and speed garage from like 89, like 1988, 99, 2000. They pulled out some hits, some old MJ Cole stuff, some old Wookiee remixes that I forgot about. They dug deep in the bag and in the vaults and in the archives, and they crushed it. It was really good seeing them together work and do their thing. It was great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what happens for Jonah Ice in this year and next year? What do you plan? What do you intend? Do you intend to work on the label?
The label is coming, brother. Gourmet Beats, the label, it is coming. I promise you, that has to happen.
It has to.
There's look, man, I get too much good music sent to me for me not to put it out and release it to the people. Gourmet Beats, the label, it's happening. Soon. I don't know when, but it's going to be soon. I promise you. And look, it's going to be soon. It's gonna, and that's something that's been on my mind a while. Gourmet Beats, the label. It's going to go down. Other than that, more shows, more music, more shows, more music. Take my daughter to school on Monday and Thursday. Swim practice Thursday night. Football practice Wednesday. Soccer for everybody else. And just keep it moving.
Any last thoughts for the listeners of Radio Student?
Hey, this is, when I was in college, I wish I had an opportunity to do student radio. I'm serious. That's my... Outside of where I went to school, my other regret was not doing some kind of college radio, because I've always enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed listening to it. I've always enjoyed the independence and the freedom that college radio has to offer. They're not bound by corporate sponsorship and other influences. You guys can play whatever you want, whenever you want, and you don't have to answer to anybody except yourselves. And that entirely fits my personality, because I don't necessarily, not that I'm not willing to listen to authority, but I don't want someone to tell me what I should and should not play or listen to. You know what I mean? I don't want that. So, it's a community, and obviously a community is a group of like-minded people. So naturally I like being around people that want to play whatever they want to play. I don't necessarily have to like what you play, and same goes for me. You don't have to like what I like to play. But I like the fact that you have the freedom to do what you want when you want to. That's beautiful. So, listeners, if you're out there, any way you can support college radio, independent radio like this station, 89.3 FM, radiostudent.si, do it. It's the right way to go. Forget the big pop radio stations that want to advertise a whole bunch of BS and sell you stuff and play the same 12 songs over and over again, top of the hour, every hour, and you get bored by it. Nah, man. Look, this is the place to be. You come here, you listen to radio. If you don't like something that's on this station, say, hey, look, I want my own show so I can play my own stuff. It's freedom. It's freedom of expression, freedom of music, freedom of sound. This is where you got to be. The other thing I want to tell everybody out there is, look, be yourself. Just be yourself. Everyone else is taken. Be yourself, man. Be original. Be yourself. That's it. And the other thing, come see me at the F Club. Get yourself down there, man. It's me. I'm out here. You know me. You may not know me before, but you know who I am now. You know what I'm about. That's it, man.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, brother. I had a great time today, man. Big up. Peace and love, everybody.
What's up, everybody? This is Joe Dice.
This is Joe Dice.
And you're listening to an exclusive mix.
On radiostudent.si.
Radiostudent.si.
89.3.
FM.
Bye.
If you like more, of this, if you catch me at the F Club,
near Tivoli.
On October 18th.
Presented by True Soldiers Productions.
Once again, you're listening to Joe Nice.
On Radio Student.SI
89.3 FM.
Let's go.
Crab with 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 crab Oh, yeah, Zianna, Dinatina, oh.